So by the time he gets there, he's 3 days late for the funeral. Lazarus has already been in the grave for 4 days, or dead for 4 days, which means he probably died later the day that Jesus actually heard that his friend was sick. So even if he'd have gone straight away, he probably wouldn't have got there in time to heal his sickness. When he arrives, he's overwhelmed with all the grief that's going on, as naturally we all are at those moments in funerals. We don't know what to say. We don't know who to kind of go and comfort. Martha hears he's coming and she just rushes out, which is kind of a little unusual for her. She's usually the one who is here, is doing things elsewhere and is the last one to get there. But no, this time she's up front and she goes out and she says those wonderful words which we all say at funerals, if only. It's an amazing thing that we just jump to it, don't we? If only. And you know, don't you, that she had seen him heal so many sick people. If only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus, looking at her, says, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, but I know all about that resurrection stuff at the end of days. I believe in that. And he says, no, I am that resurrection. I am life. He who believes in me, like my friend Lazarus, even though they may die, they will live. And that's the thing that we have to get hold of. That's the thing that we need to really get into our minds. That we have eternal life in us because of our belief in God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection. Let's have the next slide. These famous words, ego eimi, they're the Greek words which Jesus probably didn't say because he probably spoke them in Aramaic, but he could well have spoken them because Greek, Aramaic and Hebrew were the three languages that everybody in the Middle East spoke at that time. Ego eimi, I am. And the reason I point these words out is because there are seven of these spoken in John's Gospel. I am. Actually, he says it a lot more than that, but he doesn't connect it with a great statement. He says, I am in all sorts of places. We'll get round to that a little later on. But he says these seven things, and I want you to note the number seven, because it's really important for us and really important to understand that number throughout the Bible, particularly if you're reading the book of Revelations, because there's lots of sevens in Revelations. Jesus is saying these things seven times because it is the number that denotes God's completing of something, drawing something to a great and climax and conclusion that finishes his work on that particular thing. And that's why John has recorded these sayings seven times, and does in other places in the New Testament. And that those words are in the Old Testament as well. Eternal life is in the great I am. In the book of Exodus, as we've heard in previous sermons, Moses is at that wonderful place of the burning bush where he's been tending his sheep, and he sees this thing and he goes over to investigate why this bush is on fire but not burning up. And he arrives at that place and God speaks to him, calls him to his lifelong ministry of being the one who would set the people free from Egypt and slavery. But at that time when he's told all these things, he can't quite believe it. And then it suddenly occurs to him, well, how are the Hebrews going to believe that you sent me? Who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am. I am who I am. Now, that becomes that great name, the great I am, that we often mention in our lives and read in the Bible. The great I am is the I am who holds life. John, writing in the book of Revelations, reinforces all of this. In that opening chapter where Jesus is walking amongst the lampstands with the candlesticks and the oils and everything else that's going on there, when he's walking through what is the real temple, not the temple in Jerusalem, but the temple in heaven, he says, I am the living one, the one who was, who is, and is to come. That's his way of saying, I am eternal. Life is in me. And I am the one who will give that living life to you. It's connected, that burning bush and these I am statements and what is said in Revelation. So we cover a huge swathe of the Bible there. They're connected because they are the great saving covenant words. God asks us to believe that life is in him, and we will then have that life if we believe. That's why Jesus is the resurrection. He is God giving and continuing to give us life, but not just here, life everlasting, which is hard for us to get our head round because we're really time-bound things, aren't we? 5 minutes ago is gone. I can't go back and do that. I can only be here. I can't even be in the future. But he says, I was, I am, and I will be. Where does that leave us? We have a job getting our head round it. It's hard to imagine that we could be in a place, a dimension, where everything is now. So the whole of our lives we can touch from beginning to end. And that's hard to get your head around, isn't it? But that's what resurrection means. That's what having eternal life means. We will live forever. At the beginning of this book, in the opening chapter, John writes down these wonderful words. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or understand it. And that's our problem. We have to try and get our head around the idea that God can let us live forever, not just for now, not just in this time dimension, but forever. John is saying that Jesus in that moment of saying, I am the resurrection, is pointing out that life continues after death, and it is in believing in Jesus, like Lazarus did, that we have that resurrection for ourselves. We have the next slide, please. John, in his book, paints a picture. And you can see there's a J that's switched on. That's J on. Yeah, it's just to help you remember the title. It's a funny picture. It's a bit of fun for you to remember the whole theme of the book of John. It's all about painting this picture of Jesus as the Son of God. God in the flesh, in this world, time-bound like we are, but totally not at the same time, which is hard to get your head around. And that's the deep things that come to us. When John writes his gospel, he's delving deeper all the time, taking us further in. And that brings us back to this idea of resurrection, being brought back to life. Lazarus' resurrection is a glimpse just a glimpse of our resurrected life. Because let's face it, when Lazarus came back to death, to life, he had to die again. Now, have you ever thought about that? Dying twice? You know, as someone who has come near to death a couple of times in my life, I know it's not a great feeling when you think, oh, I'm going to die here. I was 18 when it first happened to me when I had a motorbike crash. As I sailed through the air thinking, I'm going to hit that car head on and I'm going to die. But you think about it so quickly that you don't realize you are till later. And that's just one of the times I've been there, and it's not a great feeling. But I knew after those events that something was meant for me in the future, and here I am doing something I never expected to do. Spent my time being a pastor in Baptist churches. Eternal life, you see, is not confined just to this dimension, because that's where we're stuck. But eternal life frees us into all the dimensions that are possible and beyond. We have the next slide, please. Like Lazarus, near-death experiences confirm for us the reality of life after death. People have the same experiences all the time. Whether they're going to hell or whether they're going to heaven, people have had both experiences. Let's not pretend that they all go to heaven. Some people have really bad near-death experiences and it changes them completely. Read some of the books that are out there now about near-death experiences and you'll find that for yourself. That tunnel of light is always there. And the other things that happen to people. We know that there is something beyond. Science can't measure it because they're stuck in this dimension. They can't measure beyond. They're having enough trouble measuring the dimensions of our universe with all of the galaxies and everything else. We still can't get to the end of it, and hopefully in the next year or two we'll get to see further back in time as that light from the beginning gets to us. Was it 13.5 billion years later? That's, just can't get your head around that number. Too many noughts on the end of that one for me. But what we realize is Jesus isn't just raising someone for the first time. He's done this many times before. There was Jairus' daughter. There was the widow of Nain's son. And we could go on. There are so many of them and others that we don't know about that aren't recorded in the Gospels, because John tells us that. There were lots of things that could have been recorded, but he says in chapter 20 of this Bible, but there are so many of them that we'd need a whole library just to get them all in there, let alone all the other things that Jesus was doing. And when people saw Lazarus come back to life again, what was their reaction? Some believed. Some couldn't get their head round it and weren't sure what they were seeing and what they believed. And that's always the problem for us, getting our head round it. And what did those who weren't sure about it do? They went off and they told the authorities. They went to their local rabbi and said to him, what about this? They went to the Sanhedrin and told them, and they said, what about this? And what do those authorities do at this particular point? If you read on in the chapter, they plan to kill Jesus. And that plays straight into his hands, because that's what Jesus is planning all along. That's the plan from the beginning, that he would be put to death and that 3 days later he would rise from the grave, from the dead, just like Lazarus has. There's a glimpse again. So what does all this mean for us? What does I am the resurrection mean for us? These first 11 chapters of the book of John are called the book of signs, because in them there are 7 signs that show us the power of the living God. From chapter 12 on, we move into what's called the Book of Glory, which is the last week of Jesus' life and the last few days of his earthly life after resurrection. And that's often called the Book of Glory, because the glory of God is to lovingly give life to people. He doesn't want us to stop living. He wants us to carry on living. There are two central hopes, two central themes, two twin pillars, like those outside the temple in Jerusalem, where they would go later. Two central doctrines that have been tried to be explained down the centuries of Christianity. They are the death and the resurrection. And what do they mean for us? The death is all about the reality of what our lives have become. Because let's face it, most of us have moments in our lives when we wish we'd done something different than we did, that cause grief and upset and problems for everyone else, let alone for us. We need to remember that in Jesus' death on the cross, he conquers that problem that we have of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time and causing untold problems. He releases us from that by saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." We don't. That's the point of our lives. So often we can't see what's coming, but he can. And so in conquering death, by raising from death on that third day, he not only fulfilled his own prophecies, he fulfilled the prophecies of all the Old Testament as well, that kept saying that he would rise again. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, another great piece of scripture that we read at funerals, about the idea of resurrection. And he says, if there is no resurrection, then what's the point of hoping in Jesus? You can hope all you want in his death, but if there's no resurrection, then it's hopeless and you are the most miserable of people. But he says, but the resurrection is real and you can believe it. Can we have the next slide, please? Baptism and the Lord's Supper are the twin pillars of our particular practice as Baptists. We get baptized to go into the death of Christ as we go under the water and to rise into new life again when we come out of it, because we know we can't stay under the water forever. And that's what our lives are like. We're in there. But one day we're going to be released from that into the beauty of eternal life. Lazarus's resurrection is a glimpse of that. When he comes back to life, he's given food because, well, he hasn't eaten for 4 days, so he'd be pretty hungry. And drink, and he's given back his life to live again. And Jesus, in that phrase, "I am the resurrection and the life," promises in the covenant that we undertake through baptism and continually taking the Lord's Supper throughout the rest of our lives. Keep getting that opportunity at that moment to promise again, because we've usually failed in our promise to try and live a better life. And we come back and we seek forgiveness at that communion table where we share that Lord's Supper together again. Jesus says in some other great words in John chapter 14, "If you believe in God, believe also in me. For where I am going, see that I am phrase again, where I am going, there you will be also. And that's the promise. We have the last slide, please. Death is not the end. Eternal life is the end. We don't have to worry about life in this dimension, because we can move on to another dimension and experience life in its all of its fullness. Because we will be like Jesus then. Can you imagine being able to go somewhere without having to walk there? But Jesus could just appear and disappear, and appear again and disappear in that resurrected body. And that's just one of the ways that it will change. Perhaps this new year, you'll promise yourself one thing. That you who believe already will spend a little more time with Jesus, talking with Jesus, being with Jesus, not just other things, but find a way just to spend time in His presence, not just doing things for Him, as we often get caught up with, because that's where the real life comes from that enables us to do all the other things that we want to do for Him. And if you don't believe but are wondering about it all, read the story for yourself, John chapter 11. And ask Him into your life to let you know what real life is all about. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die and she may die, yet they will live. Do you believe this? I do. I hope you do. Make it a part of your life this year to know that you have eternal life. Amen.